if we would be able to, or willing to preach. And it was kind of ironic because Brother Colton and I were coming up with this great plan. We're like, how do we surprise Pastor? And we're like, well, if one of the staff members or one of the members preaches, we'll talk to them. But then Pastor came into the office and said, hey, can you guys preach? And it was like everything just fell into place with the silver plate. But nonetheless, I am humbled and honored for the opportunity to preach before you people on such an honorable day, the church, and just Pastor, I almost feel like I shouldn't be up here, that Pastor should be preaching. But nonetheless, he's asked me, so I better do as he asks. So without further ado, if you would please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 11, or 10. Matthew chapter number 10 is where we'll be. And once you find your place there, you can just hold on for 1 second. So we'll be Matthew chapter number 10. So Pastor, I'm going to change this introduction. So here recently, I had a question go through my head, as many times I do. So I go to the man with the answers, hoping that he might not turn all my questions into sermon series. But I had a question. And I said, Pastor, how did Steve Foster forsake Steve Foster and become a preacher? And we were just kind of walking back from the church after work, and he said, well, it just happens. You just work. The ministry becomes you. You become one with the ministry. I thought, it can't be that simple. You work and you become one with the ministry. And so I asked a few others, Brother Houston, but I just still was like, that can't be the answer. And a man who's been in ministry for 30 years, well, he's learned some things. And me as a young buck, you know, I listen to what he has to say. It's wisdom. So I went to the scriptures and I came across Matthew chapter number 10, and I just was reading it just to learn about these men who were called by a Nazarene man who had been talked about in scripture and prophecy as the Messiah, the one to come. And this man had gone throughout all the villages, and he had selected 12 men, 12 men whose lives were just wake up, go to work, clock in, clock out, go home, the end of their day. For some, they were fishermen. For one, he was a tax collector. There were many others, of course, we know about. But these 12 men in particular were asked to leave everything they knew, everything familiar to them, and answer a greater call. And these 12 men, with little question, comment, concern, maybe some fear, some trembling, would say yes to this man. They would follow this man who just would come up with two words and say, follow me. And this man, being Jesus, was one who would teach the disciples many things. He would teach them about the issues of life, may I say it that way, salt, light, anger, adultery, divorce, fasting and praying, judging. These men, at the beginning, knew nothing about Jesus. They said, who is this man, this Son of God? John the Baptist baptized him, but who is he really? But that who became more than that, because this man, Jesus, was one the disciples would love so much and care so much about, they'd be willing to die for him. Amen. They'd be willing to lay down their lives for him. Yet Jesus would pay the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. But before that day would come where Jesus would hang on the cross, he would take these 12 men to the disciples, and he would speak to them first about the issues of life, being what I talked about, the Beatitudes, if I could say it that way. But then as we come to chapter number 10, he sits them down once again. But this isn't like your normal sitting down. No, Jesus sits them down, and he begins to talk about something different. But first he tells them this. He says, I give you power over unclean spirits to cast them out. The power of healing. This isn't what the disciples were used to. And Jesus gives them all these attributes. And then he continues on. In verse number 5 of chapter 10, he says this, go into the way of the Gentiles. You're not going to go the same way you've been going. No, you're going to go the way of the Gentiles. And you're going to preach. You're going to go to the lost sheep and preach to them about the kingdom. You're going to heal the sick, the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. But you're not going to do this for riches or for reward. You're not going to take extra with you. You're going to go as you are. Sheep in the midst of wolves. This would be a dangerous calling. And they would go tell many about the kingdom, like I've said. And these men were given these instructions to make sure they understood what their lives would now look like. No longer would they go back to their fishing boats or to their desks to collect taxes. They would go out amongst wolves. A dangerous call for a young man, let alone a man called to ministry. Not a call that many answer. Many are scared to go. But these 12 men, they would go. And they would go on their way. But just before they'd get to that point, just before, Jesus starts speaking to them about one more thing. The thing that would probably be the most important to these disciples because it pertained to them so much, something they loved so much, their life. We all love our life. We all have a good life, I'd say. Anyone around this room, if you were to ask them, how's your life? They'd say, it's a good life. And Jesus confronts the disciples about their lives. And Jesus, he came to seek and to save those who were lost, and we know that. And in verses 36 down on through 39 is where we're going to focus. And I just want to point some things out that Jesus said this. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. But when he would come to, I'll just read it in verse number 36. It says this, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not, what is it? Worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You see, Jesus, he came to seek and to save, like I said. But before that, he's talking to the disciples about this. He says, I have come to set man at variance, which means this, to separate. Because when Jesus would come, there would be those who would be saved. They would accept Christ as their personal Savior. But there would also be those who would reject Christ. They would not believe. And the word variance there means to separate. So within the household, as verse 36 says, there would be foes, meaning this. There would be those of believers and unbelievers. There would be a variance, a separation. Now, I don't need to go into great detail of the fact that believers and unbelievers don't jive well together in the same household. I'm just going to leave it there at that. And Jesus tells these disciples this, that there are those in your own household who will not follow after me. They will not believe in me. They'll be an enemy of you. Now, that doesn't mean you reject them. You love them that much more. And you hope that one day they would receive Christ as their personal Savior. And so Jesus tells these men this. But then Jesus points out another aspect of worthiness. The word, if you break it down, means this. It means deserving of, but then it also means this, suitable. You have two words to make up one word, worthy. And Jesus was telling the disciples this, that if you were to place your family, your children above me, you're not worthy. And if they place their family above God or their children above God, they're not deserving of the praise or the reward that would come to them from God. They would not be worthy. They would not be suitable for the call to ministry. They would not be suitable for the task at hand because they would have their idolatry over them. They would be so overly concerned with other things than the true King. And if the disciples set those things above, like I said, they wouldn't be worthy or suitable for the call. They wouldn't be worthy to preach his name. They wouldn't be worthy to heal the dead, cast out, and heal all manner of diseases. No man can do this. At least today, I don't know a man who can just walk over people and say, you're healed. But Jesus took 12 men and said, this is what I give you. But it was not for themselves to be honored and glorified. It was for the praise and honor of our Heavenly Father. And we can be just as unworthy, can we not? When we choose to set other things above God, maybe it's your job, it's your work, it's your lifestyle, maybe it is your family, your friends, your loved ones, you decide that their importance supersedes God. And you might say, no, I love God. But in your own heart, you've nudged the bar on something else above God. But to everyone in this room, you wear the church look very well. But are we worthy? Are we worthy to preach, teach, be missionaries to those who are lost in a dying world? Are we suitable? Are we worthy? Are we unworthy? So I asked myself this question, looking at the disciples' lives. So, what would it take for them to be worthy, to be willing? And it's verse 39 that says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it." Meaning this, that he that preserves, saves his life shall lose it. And when you look up the word to lose it, many commentators have many different ideas on what to say. So I asked Preacher, a man who knows some things. And we talked about it, and he said this, well, if you think of it this way, if the disciples saved their lives, they would lose their effectiveness, their willingness, their drive, their gusto, their want to be in ministry, because they're trying to save what's theirs. But it's in the moment that verse 39 says this, that if they are willing, and that he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The disciples needed to be willing to lose their lives because only then would they find it in Christ. A life secure in Christ, a life lost to self is a life found in Christ. Amen. If you are willing to lose your life, you'll find him. Amen. And we have a man here who spent 30 plus years, even further back in ministry, his own life was confronted. And he had a choice to make. Was he going to forsake himself? Was Steve Foster going to say, enough is enough? Or was he going to say, you know what, I like my life. I like fishing in Florida. It's pretty nice. Or was he going to be willing to say this, you know what, I have a call on my life. And I need to answer it. Like I said, 30 plus years of ministry. And this young man who's grown up, he was willing to lose his life for his sake. He loves his family. He loves his grandkids a lot. He loves his friends. He greatly loves his church family. But he loves God so much more. We could say he's worthy. And we're thankful for Pastor Foster's faithfulness, his willingness to say yes. And we're thankful for his willingness to take up his cross and deny himself. Amen. We're thankful, Pastor. Let's pray. Dear God,